So we're coming up obviously with the holiday of Shavuos. We're finishing up Sfiras HaOmer. And obviously when we ask ourselves what we're celebrating, so we say in our davening, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torasenu, the day that God gave us the Torah, right? The Kabbalah Satorah, Matan Torah, the greatest event in really in the history of the universe and the reason why the universe was created. Now, of course, first of all, even as a matter of definition, when we say that God gave us the Torah on Shavuos, what do we mean? We don't mean that Hashem gave us the 613 mitzvahs. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu himself learned the 613 mitzvahs over 40 days on Har Sinai. And we ourselves did not get many mitzvahs until the very end of the desert period, meaning the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael. See, when we say Moshe got the mitzvahs b'Sinai, but we did not get the mitzvahs b'Sinai. We got the mitzvahs over 40 years after all sorts of different events. So, the only thing that happened at Har Sinai was we heard the Aseres HaDibros, the revelation. And even that was not complete, the way Rashi understands it. Hashem initially said the Ten Commandments b'Dibor Echad. We really didn't understand it. And then he repeated the first two, I am the Lord your God, the mitzvah of Emunah, and the prohibition against other gods. And only afterwards, we then said we were afraid, we couldn't hear the rest, and Moshe communicated the other eight. So that's what we mean by Matan Torah. Okay, so the Seder. So we don't mean the whole Torah. Okay, we don't mean that. We mean the Gilui Shechina of the Aseres HaDibros, and that convinced us that Moshe Rabbeinu is the definitive Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Keseder. That's called the event, that is the event of Matan Torah. But the Magen Avraham asks a Gevaldige Kasha, a very, very famous Kasha and a very problematical Kasha. There actually is a Machlokas in the Gemara. Was the Torah given on the 6th of Sivan, or was the Torah given on the 7th of Sivan? It's Machlokas, and each one develops a complicated chronology to try to show that. And the Gemara basically says it depends halachically on the following machlokas. And that is, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that men and women needed to be separated for a certain number of days before Matan Torah. According to the Chachamim, they were separated on the 4th and 5th of Sivan, 2 days, and we got the Torah on the 6th. According to Rav Yossi, there had to be 3 full days of separation. So it's the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and we got the Torah on the 7th. So the Machlokas basically is, were there 2 days of separation or 3 days of separation? Now, what is that tali on? That's tali on the following idea. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want anyone to become tameh during Matan Torah. Now, we know if a man has a seminal emission, he's tameh. Now, that you can't stop. You know, hopefully he won't have one. But the halacha also is, if a woman is poletus, if a woman expels the shichvas zera that she had from tashmish, that also makes her tameh. But if it's not expelled until a certain amount of time after tashmish, the zera is considered decomposed, and it doesn't make her tameh. So, according to the Chachamim, all you need is 48 hours of separation, 2 days. And by the time the third day comes along, she's not going to become tameh even if she expels it. According to Rav Yossi, you need 3 days of separation. And therefore, there needed to be 3 days to ensure that by Matan Torah, she would not become tameh. Now, this is highly relevant even today. Because although we don't have the general rules of Tumah V'Taira, we do have the laws of Nida. And if a woman expels Shichva Sera within either the 2 day or the 3 day period, she is forbidden to her husband for that day. And Lahalacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that a poletus is Tameya unless 3 days have passed. And if that's the case, we have to be paskining like Rav Yossi, that there were 3 days of separation. And if that's the case, the Torah was not given on day 6, the Torah was given on day 7. This is the Magen Avraham's Kasha. Now, let me point out, that everybody admits the Torah was given on Shabbos. That's not a machlokas. The Torah was given on Shabbos. That's a tradition. We don't have a proof for that, but that's a Masorah Chazal had. And therefore, the machlokas really is, when was Rosh Chodesh that year? If Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, then Shabbos is 7. If Rosh Chodesh was Monday, Shabbos is 6. Right? So the machlokas basically is, when was Rosh Chodesh? Okay. So that's one kasha of the Magen Avraham. How can we keep Shavuos on the 6th of Sivan? We must paskin the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan because there had to be 3 days of preparation. But then the Magen Avraham asks the kasha in a different way, which is even stronger. And that is, you might want to say, well, we don't care about the date. The main point is the Torah was given on the 50th day of the Omer. And it's only now that we have a calendar that it's always going to be the 6th, but it didn't have to always be that way. If Nisan and Iyar both had 30 days, so Shavuos would be on the 5th. If Nisan and Iyar both had 29 days, Shavuos would be on the 7th. It's only if Nisan is 30 and Iyar is 29 that you get the 6th. So maybe you'll say, all right, 6, 7, what difference does it make as long as it's the 50th day of the Omer? Right? That would be a good answer. But the Magen Avraham says that cannot be the answer for the following reason. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos quotes a brisa in the Seder HaOlam. What is Seder HaOlam? This is a work of the Tanoim that is even earlier than the Mishnah. In fact, Rav Yaisi is considered to be the Mechaber of Seder HaOlam, and Seder HaOlam gives all of the chronology, the years that everybody lived and the dates that are not beferish in the Chumash. Right, in Chazal, Rashi and Chazal, they draw on Seder HaOlam to understand the chronology of biblical events. Seder HaOlam says that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. Again, there's no particular proof, but this is a Masorah. So let's think about this. If they left on a Thursday, the first day of Pesach would be Thursday. The second day of Pesach, which is the first day of the Omer, would be Friday. So they began counting the Omer on Friday. Now, if you count 49 days, so if the first day of the Omer is Friday, the 49th day of the Omer, the completion of 7 weeks, is Thursday. Friday is 50. But the Torah was not given until Shabbos. So the Torah was not given on the 50th day of the Omer. The Torah was given on the 51st day of the Omer. So the Magen Avraham says, no matter how you cut it, the 6th of Sivan, which is the 50th day of the Omer, was not the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Aseres Adibros. The Aseres Adibros were not given on the 6th of Sivan, that is the 50th of the Omer. The Aseres Adibros were given on the 7th of Sivan, that is the 51st day of the Omer. Now, that means, a striking point, number one, why do we celebrate Shavuos a day early? Number two, it actually underscores the fact that this is the one thing that Chutz La'aretz seems to get right. Because the second day of Shavuos, which is only Drabanan, it's only Drabanan, it's not the Araisa, but it's the second day of Shavuos that is the day of Matan Torah, not the first day. But that's a Pella. So the Magen Avraham himself gives an answer. The Magen Avraham says that in reality, the Gemara in Shabbos says that God actually told the Jewish people to separate only for 2 days, which would have been Wednesday, Thursday. And it's Moshe Rabbeinu that said, separate Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And he actually added a day of separation on his own. So the Magen Avraham says, we do not celebrate Shavuos on the day that God gave the Torah. We celebrate Shavuos on the day that Hashem would have given the Torah had Moshe Rabbeinu not added a day on his own. We celebrate the hypothetical day, not the actual day. And the Gemara in Shabbos goes on and says, there were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. We'll explain that actually a little further on. There are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, without Hashem's rishus. And after the fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I agree with you. The first was he added a day to the preparations of Matan Torah. I mean, this is pretty amazing, meaning to say the Torah should have been given on Friday, which would have been the 50th of the Omer and the 6th of Sivan, but Moshe delayed it to the 51st day and the 7th of Sivan. He added a day of Matan Torah on his own. The second addition he made was his decision 40 days later on the 17th of Tammuz, when he comes down from the mountain and he sees that the Jewish people, or some of them at least, are worshipping the Egel HaZahav, he takes the Luchos and he smashes them. Hashem didn't tell him to do that. Why did Moshe smash them? So we think because he was angry. The Gemara says Moshe did it to help B'nai Israel, because the Luchos are like a sign of marriage between God and the Jewish people. And if an Ashes Ish commits adultery, she's Chay of Misa. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Jewish people to be judged like a single woman, an engaged woman who is promiscuous, instead of a married woman that is promiscuous. And therefore, Laduna Kipnuya, Velo Ki Ashes Ish, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Kavanah. Now, there are other Midrashim that learn differently. There are other Midrashim that say Moshe did not intentionally break the Luchos. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard these Midrashim. Rather, the letters of Hashem flew out of the Luchos, and it was those letters that were carrying the Luchos. And once the letters left, and it's just slabs of stone, it is too heavy for Moshe to carry, and they dropped. Okay, but the Gemara in Shabbos does not learn that way. The Gemara in Shabbos learns that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos, and even though Hashem didn't tell him to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said afterwards, Yasher Kaychacha Sheshibarta. Yasher Kayach, your strength should be increased because you did a good thing. So that's the second thing Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. And the third thing that he did on his own was that he became celibate. We know that that B'nai Yisrael were separated from their wives for 3 days, but after Matan Torah, they were permitted to resume relationship. Moshe Rabbeinu made a cheshbon that because he has to be on call for prophecy 24/7, he could no longer engage in marital intimacy. And as you'll recall later, this was the actual Lashon Hara that Miriam and Aaron said about Moshe, hey, we're Nevi'im too, and we don't do that. Why does he do that? Right, that was the Lashon Hara. That is why Miriam became a Mitzaras. And yet, we know that although Moshe Rabbeinu did this on his own, Hashem did not tell him to do it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking. Right? So these are the three examples. Huh? But the Gemara says, the Gemara does call it Moshe, which has to mean that he mistakenly interpreted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. He had his drasha. For each mistake, he had a drasha. But it's still called Meisach Midaite because that was not the Kavanas Habayrei, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu went along with Moshe Rabbeinu's interpretation. Otherwise it wouldn't be Meisach Yemechad Midaite. Okay, yeah. That's correct. That is correct, yeah. It's interesting that, I just want to point out, that although Lahavdil in the Christian world or the Catholic world, the Galachim, the priests, take on that particular hanhaga, among Klal Yisrael it has been usher to do that, meaning it's very interesting that although you might think, it's a good thing, I should imitate Moshe Rabbeinu, but you see Fakert, right? This was a unique Aveda of Moshe Rabbeinu that not only are we not expected to do, but it is actually prohibited to do. It is usher to do. A person is mechuyev to get married, and the chiyuvim of marriage is ona. So, fakert, this is bedafka, the one derech that we do not emulate. We are not allowed to emulate. That's why even the greatest mekubalim, the greatest kedushim, the people who were pireish from gashmias in all sorts of ways, this was the one inyan in which this was seen to be something holy and something kadosh that they should not be pyrus. So Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. He had to be muchan l'nevuah. He had to be a roi for nevuah every single second. He could not be distracted in any way. Okay. Now, so this is the Magen Avraham's Teretz. So again, the Magen Avraham's Yesod is pretty amazing that we don't keep Shavuos on the day of the Aseres Adibreis. We keep Shavuos on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Aseres Adibreis and did not. So this is the Magen Avraham. Yeah.
What about the first Rashi in Bereishis who writes when Yom HaShishim when Eretz Yisrael does not accept Torah the 6 of Zivan?
Yeah, that's it.
The world will come consume nothing.
Yeah, but that's a very good kasha. That medrash goes like the view. You know, it is a machlokas tanoim. There are tanoim that do say the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Rashi brings that medrash. But lahalacha, the Magen Avraham says, we pass it on the 7th of Sivan. Now, which means the emes is, there are many times, both in Gemara and in Chumash, that Rashi will bring beautiful midrashim, but the beautiful midrashim are not those that we paskin like this. It's not always alibi de hilchasa.
The midrash is still valid.
Not everybody. Well, when you say it's still valid, you know, what do you mean? I mean, there is a machlokas tanaim, and the medrash, the statement of the medrash, is following a particular tana. So it's valid. It is valid as reflecting the view of a tana. But it is not halachically the date of Matan Torah. Although, based on what I tell you, I'll go back to this because it could be that what we're going to say will be an answer to that. Because the kasha of the Magen Avraham is this: L'chaira, the day that the Eibishter actually gave the Torah should be more stronger than the day he wanted to give the Torah. Meaning, good, on the 6th of Sivan he wanted to give, and that was his original plan. But L'maisa he didn't give. If Me'ezah Tam Shiyia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delayed it to the 7th, so Matan Torah, the Hiskalos of the Shechina, was on the 7th, if that is the case, it still should be the 7th, 51st day of the Omer. Why would the hypothetical day be stronger than the Mamoshes, than the actual day? So here, let me go over a very famous Gemara. I'm sure you've learned it before. This is the Gemara of Taner Shalachnoi. Taner Shalachnoi is an earthenware oven. It's made of cheres, earthenware, but it's cut into strips like a hula hoop. So imagine you have a bunch of, and that's how you carry it from place to place, like a hula hoop. So there's a machlekes, is that called a broken oven that is not makabel tuma? Or is that just the way you move it around? So it's not called a broken oven, and it is makabel tuma. Remember, kli cheres, just as an aside, earthenware vessels are makabel tuma in a very different way than other vessels. Most vessels are makabel tuma if either a mace or a dead animal touches it, whether from the outside or from the inside. Kli cheres are only makabel tuma from the inside, but you don't need touching. Meaning, if a sheretz is suspended, let's say this is an earthenware cup. If a sheretz or even a dead body touches it from the outside, it's not tamei at all. If, on the other hand, something enters the airspace, even if it doesn't touch, it becomes tamei. Again, that's a special, unique halacha for kli cheres. But be it as it may, this is called taner shalachnoi. And taner shalachnoi, achnoi is a snake. And the reason why it was called snake, because these coils were like a snake. You know, when a snake coils up, it sometimes puts its tail in its mouth, so it looks like a circle, like a hula hoop type of thing. I don't know. Actually, do you know what hula hoops are? I mean, I realize they haven't been around 50 years, but okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer was Matahir. He said it's Tahar. And Rabbi Yoshua says Tameh. And the Chachamim paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. And then the Gemara goes on and says that no matter what Rabbi Eliezer's rayas, he brought raya after raya after raya, the Chachamim disagreed with him and they said, Tameh, Tameh, Tameh. So Rabbi Eliezer started doing miracles to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskin to him. He said, if the halachas like me, let this carob tree, charuv, the carob tree, fly away. And the tree flies away, and the Chachamim say, we don't listen to trees. And then he said, if the halacha is like me, let the river change its course. And the river changed its course. And the Chachamim said, we don't listen to rivers. And then he said, if the halacha is like me, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash collapse inward. And the walls began to collapse inward, and Rabbi Yeshua said to the walls, do not collapse, stay still. And the walls didn't know what to do. Do they listen to Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua? So it mentions that's why the walls were slanted, right? So apparently they had a slanting Beis Medrash, and they said, oh, it's because of Yener Maisa, because of that Maisa. So once again, as you could guess, the Chachamim said, we don't listen to slanting walls. So finally he brings out the big gun, the biggest gun, which is really what he's doing all along, and he's saying, if the halacha is like me, let there be a voice min hashamayim hakadosh baruch hu b'chvodo miyasma. We call it the basko, the heavenly voice. And let the heavenly voice say, who's right? And the basko was Yaitse. And the basko said, halacha kerebi Eliezer, that it's Torah, he's right. And the Chachamim say, we don't listen to heavenly voices, because you, Hashem, said in your Torah, you, Hashem, said, lo b'shamayim hi, the Torah is not in heaven. You yourself said, Hashem, that the Chachamim are given the authority to determine the halacha by a majority of the Sanhedrin. You yourself, Hashem, do not have the authority or the power to violate your Torah. You follow Torah, we follow. This is the rule that says, ein mashgichin bebasko, we don't listen to a basko. This is also the rule why a Navi, no matter what his miracles are, a Navi cannot, not only can a Navi not change the Torah, maybe that's more pashut, but a Navi cannot even decide a machlokas. In other words, if there's a machlokas, that two rabbanim, two gedolim, and the Navi says, I have a message from Hashem, that the halacha is like Rav Yashiv or like Rav Shlomo Zalman, says that also we don't listen to Navua Bichlal in all of this. Ein mashgichan, because of the din of lo b'shamayim. Now, this sounds like a pretty big chutzpah, but the Gemara goes on and says that one of the Amoraim who used to talk to Eliyahu HaNavi, he was zeichet to Gilei Eliyahu, said to Eliyahu HaNavi, what did Hashem do when they said lo b'shamayim, keep out of this, mind your own business? And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was laughing, and he said, "Ach, nitzchuni banai, my children have beaten me in an argument. I accept it, and let them fight it out." This is a very, very famous Gemara, a Yisayid of Lo b'Shamayim Hi, Ein Hanavi Rishoy L'Chadesh, Ein Mashkichen Bebaskol. These are all related principles. Now Tosos does ask a very important kasha. This is a Gemara in Bava Metzia and Perek HaZav. And Taisus says that in the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, originally it was not clear who the halacha was like, Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel, but a voice from heaven came out and said, halacha ke Beis Hillel, and we paskin like Beis Hillel because there was a baskol that said, halacha ke Beis Hillel. So Frek Taisus, the obvious kasha, if you don't know who to paskin, in fact, that's the example I just gave you. You don't know who to paskin like. That's also ein mashgichin bebaskol. You don't listen to a baskol. So Tosva says there's a difference, and that is the baskol in Rabbi Eliezer's case was keneged to halacha because there already was a rove that said tamei. The baskol is telling you to go like the minority, so we don't follow a baskol when it's contradicting the halacha that you follow the majority. Masha'en came Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel was the majority. Beis Hillel was bigger than Beis Shammai. If that's the case, the baskol is not telling you to break the halacha. The baskol is simply telling you to follow the halacha. Now that's what Tosus says. But the Tosus is very sure. The Tosus is very sure. Wait a second. If the pshat is Beis Hillel is already a majority, and the halacha is that you follow a majority, so I don't need the baskol. Yeah, follow the baskol. I don't need a baskol to tell me that, because that's going to be the halacha anyway. I mean, you're telling me I only follow a baskol when I don't need a baskol. Well, if you don't need a baskol, why have one? So that's difficult, but the simple pshat is like this. The simple pshat is that even though the halacha normally is you follow a majority, right, that's the normal rule, but when the minority is of a different madrega, totally different madrega, I mean, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's imagine you have Rebbe Yoshev Paskin something, but this actually happens. And, I don't want to give specific examples, but there are rabbinical organizations in the United States that have 900 members, and they vote on resolutions, and they vote to allow something that Rebbe Yoshev says is usher. Now, can somebody go and say, oh, it's 900 to 1, you know? The answer is that sometimes the 1 is bigger than the 900. So the din of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was hagam that Beis Hillel was a reif, but the Gemara itself describes Beis Shammai as mechadidi tefei, that they were sharper. But that just because Stamazai people are sharper, that's not enough. But the question is whether the merchat between them was so much that it becomes like Rebbe Yoshev versus 900 regular young Israel rabbis. So the Bas Kol is not so much telling you to follow Beis Hillel as telling you that the merchak, the gap between them, it's like a metzias, the gap between them is not so massive that you should therefore depart from the normal rule of going Basar Reif. So that's not a halachic determination, that's kind of a factual determination. And then Ein Hachinami, the halacha becomes like Beis Hillel, not because the Bas Kol says follow Beis Hillel, the halacha goes like Beis Hillel, because once the Bas Kol tells me that the gap, although Beis Shammai was superior intellectually, but the gap was not so tremendous, so mimele, you're going to follow the halacha. That's how one understands Taisus. Okay, but there's a sefer, you know, I'm sure all of you have heard of the Ran, maybe you've learned over the Ran. Ran was one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Nisim, and he wrote on Shas, and he wrote on the Rif. But there's a sefer that he wrote on Hashkafa, based on certain themes in Chumash mainly, and this is called Drushas Haran. Great, one of the great, great Sifrei Machshava, Drushas Haran. In fact, recently, an English translation came out, really for the first time, but by a Rav who died recently, a great, very chashev Talmud Chacham of Shraga Silverstein Zechayno Levracha, and you can get an English Drushas Haran. I had the privilege of writing a two-page introduction, so I'm not going to say that's the best part of the sefer because it 1,000,000% is not. But okay, but be it as it may. But in the Drushas Haran, he raises the obvious question. And that is, when you have paiskim that are arguing over halacha, so we use logic, we use svara, we use drasha, we use makairis, we look at this gemara, that gemara, Rashi, Taisus, but at the end of the day, what we're really trying to figure out is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do in this case? Now, good. We don't hear it directly from God, so we got to use all sorts of analogies. But ultimately, any determination of halacha is to try to be kaveya the Ratzon Hashem, right? I mean, that's good. Maybe we don't talk that way. Oh, it's not a bad idea to talk that way, by the way. I mean, it says, you know, Rebbe Yoshev, going back to Rebbe Yoshev, when he learns by himself most of the time. He didn't go to yeshiva. You know, he was a person who was a solitary learner and the like, but he used to always learn out loud. In fact, they say that one of his neighbors said that he learned all of Masechet Shabbos and Erevin with Rebbe Yoshev as a chavrusa, but Rebbe Yoshev didn't know it. But Yoshev would sit from about 2 in the morning to 6, that was his main alone time to learn, those 4 hours, nobody was bothering him, and he would explain everything, as if you had a chavrusa. The Gemara asks this in Yiddish, and Rashi says this, and Taisa says three kashas, and he's very good by Masra. Taisa says three kashas and gives four tayrutzim, and according to this, so he says, so this guy figured, I'll get up, you know, I'll take out a Masechet Shabbos, Masechet Erevin, and I'll learn with Rebbe Yoshev. So he actually had 4 hours of a shir from Rebbe Yoshev every day, because Rebbe Yoshev would speak everything out, and this is how he learned. He would speak everything out, and you would mamish think there was somebody that he was teaching. So when he would come to a malacha, you know, whatever, you'd see Yisra Shabbos, the Yisra of carrying, he would be matim, he would say it this way, he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us not to carry on Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, and you can't go from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would bring in HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and the Chachamim made a Gezerah not to do this, because otherwise you might violate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and that's why it's usher to carry four amos in a Carmelis. Right? So the Drashas Haran asks a simple question. What is the sense, if we're arguing over what does Hashem want, and Hashem tells you what he wants, we tell Hashem, stay out of it? I mean, let's imagine you and your brothers or siblings are deciding you want to get your father a birthday present or mother a birthday present. And you're arguing, what does mom like? Does she like this? Does she like that? Mom overhears the conversation and says, you know, I really like this. So you say to your mother, in a respectful way, well, mom, please stay out of it. This is not about you. The whole shaila is, what does she want? She says what she wants. Now, kal v'chaimer, what does Hashem want me to do? And Hashem tells you what he wants. And we say, no, lo b'shamayimi. Right? Now, you could learn, you might have learned, well, maybe the reason why we don't rely on heavenly voices is because maybe they're hallucinations. You know, when you have svara, you have a raya. But to say stam, God told, or sometimes you can have a fraudulent person, like all of these Christian guys. God told me last night, you got to give me $1 million, and you got to give me your life savings, and this is a message from Hashem. Of course, the person says, how come I didn't hear that message? You know, it's always the message I hear about what you have to give to me. Okay, Beseder. That's the famous Kuzari argument, that the whole Yisrael of Matan Torah is that Moshe doesn't say Hashem spoke to him, rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us. We heard it. Okay. So you could learn theoretically, that the problem of the Bas Kol is the possibility of either hallucination or fraud, but that's not the Mashmais at all. The Mashmais of the Gemara is the Chachamim believed, and they knew, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. Not that it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Afal Pichain, we don't listen. What's the pshat? So the Ran says a very important yesod in Torah Shebal Peh. And this is a yesod that can be misapplied and can be misinterpreted and can be used in ways that are against the Torah. So be careful. I don't want to get in trouble here, but the Ran says this is the way it works. And that is, the Ran says there are two types of emes in the world. There is mathematical emes, in which there is only one possible right answer. 1 + 1. If I say 2 and you say 3, it's not you have your opinion, I have my opinion. I'm right and you're wrong. Or whatever, I could be wrong, whatever. Whichever one says 3 is wrong. But in halacha, it's very, very different. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the oral law, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give Moshe a specific psak halacha on every single case that will ever happen to the end of time. If that would be the case, it would have taken more than 40 days to go through that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe general principles, yesodos, ways of drasha, and the general principles. And it was left to the Chachamim in every generation to apply those principles to the new cases that come up. And that's a process that occurs even today, when new technology, surrogate motherhood, genetic engineering, cloning. And it is also true in the time of Chazal, which means, in spite of the fact what you sometimes hear in Shorish or Mechina, I don't want to undermine anything people say. You know, it's not that every word of the Gemara, when we say the Torah Shebal Peh was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, and the Gemara is the record of the Torah Shebal Peh, so people sometimes come to a mistake and they think, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe every word of the Gemara, and that was passed down for 2,000 years until Rav Ashi wrote it down. That makes no sense, because that would mean when Abaye asks Akasha, is Abaye reading from a script? Is that what we're saying? Oh, Abaye, this was handed down from Moshe. You read these words here. So the Ran says, Avada, it's not that. Avada, it's not that way. What Ravina and Ravashi and what Abaye and Rava do, although their madrega is infinitely greater than ours, is the same thing you're doing. You're arguing, you're using svara, you're using your head, you're trying to understand. They also try to understand. And that's why people ask Akasha, if God gave the whole oral law, how could there be arguments? The short answer is, because the arguments are the applications of the principles. Meaning, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there is no machlokas. The Rambam says that. Right? That was accurately transmitted from generation to generation. But the Chachamim are given the koach to take those principles and apply them. And as the Rambam said, if you have two Chachamim who have the same principles, same fundamental principles, they can apply them in different ways. Which one is the right answer? So here is the this is what the Ran says. In theory, God does have a right answer to every question. But since it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzei that the application of the principle should be based on us, so whatever the Chachamim come up with is going to be the Ratzei Hashem, even if it is not the same as God's private answer. Okay, this is what the Ran says. This is the difference between halachic truth and operational truth. Now, this is dangerous because theoretically you could say, oh, whatever human beings say is right, well, what about conservative reform? I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with, although I'm avoiding some very hard questions, people who are believers in the Torah as a whole, people who are proficient and people who are knowledgeable of the system, people who are called chachamim, they have this certain koach that even if in some objective sense they are incorrect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is my ratzon. And this is why it's shayach in a machlokas for which the halakha did not decide. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. They're both right. How could they both be right? Kosher, treif? The answer is they're both right because both conclusions are based on the yesaidais that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Misinai. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, the greatest posek of the 1800s, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, or at least the late 1800s, I shouldn't say the whole 1800s, says that this explains a certain Gemara in Brachas. You know, when we put back the Torah, we say, Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem. Hashem says, I gave you a good purchase. Maybe you remember this Gemara. The Gemara says, the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the Midah of a Basar Vadam. A Basar Vadam, if I have to sell you a precious heirloom, I have to sell you a Yerusha, I'm very sad. And you're very happy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold us the Torah, and he rejoices. So Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says, what's the analogy here? What do you mean, sold us the Torah? If I have to sell you something, I don't have it. Hashem didn't sell us the Torah. Hashem commanded us to keep the Torah. No. The Lo B'Shamayim Hi is kavyachol an abdication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach or shlita over the Torah to give the Chachamim such a koach. This is the Ratzon Hashem. It's a love that he has for the Am Yisrael and the Chachmei HaTorah that he gives them the koach to be machriya, even keneged his objective ratzon, and that becomes the ratzon Hashem. They're machriya keneged the Eibishter's own answer. But he says, my ratzon is what you came up with, because you're using my yesaidus. You are my partner. You are my shetufa. So, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mocher, not just a mitzvah. He's a mocher. So now, the Magen Avraham is a beautiful. Because if we understand that Matan Torah doesn't just mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us commands, but he gave the Chachamim a koach over the interpretation of Torah, even keneged his objective will. As the Drasha Saran said, when was the first time that that happened? On Friday, the 6th of Sivan. On Friday, the 6th of Sivan, it was Hashem's desire to give a Torah. But because Moshe Rabbeinu interpreted that they needed an extra day, Hashem delayed because he was maskin to Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. So Matan Torah was not what Hashem did. Matan Torah is what Hashem didn't do on that particular day. So we celebrate Shavuos by virtue of the fact that the day that Hashem didn't give the Torah is actually the day that he gave it. Because if giving the Torah is deferring to the hachra of the chachamim, even keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu's objective will, that occurred by the Torah not being given. Right? So that, and that's what we celebrate. Right? Now, this may be a little psychological disturbing, because the bottom line is, according to this cheshbon, the Aseres HaDibros were not given on Vav Sivan. They were given Zion Sivan. What happened on Vav Sivan? Nothing. But it is the nothing that is the greatest Matan Torah of being Kadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel is Mevater to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I just want to give you a little mashal that maybe makes this clear in a homely way. Maybe it's more matim for women, but let's say you have a child who's in nursery, and you want to make a cake for your child's birthday. So there are two ways you can make a cake. The best way to make the cake is when the child is asleep, or in nursery, or in gan, you make a cake. So it's 20 minutes, you have a cake. But if you truly love the child, what you want to do is you want to invite the child and make the cake together with the child. Now, the cake that a child will make with you is not going to be as good as the cake you could have done yourself. It'll be lumpy, there'll be sugar on the floor, and chocolate on the counter, and an eggshell in the batter, and part of it'll be overbaked, and part of it'll be underbaked. So you might say, I could do a much better job myself. But the love is in the relationship. Now, Torah is exactly the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given the Torah in a very different way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given the Torah with specific psukim on every type of shiloh. Now you might say, well, but that wouldn't make sense. Would the generation of the Midbar understand genetic engineering? So naniach that they wouldn't. So Hashem could have given envelopes. Do not open this envelope before Tavshin Ayin Dalet, whatever it is. And then, think about this. There wouldn't be machlokas. The Torah would simply be, well, I was going to say a kitzur shulchanach, but it would be much more than a kitzur. But the Torah would be a set of rules in which we would know exactly what to do in every case. And yet we know. And when people start learning Gemara, they're quite confused about this. You figure Gemara will teach me how a Jew is supposed to live. And you open Gemara, this machlokas, that machlokas, this proof, this thing. Rashi says this, Tosa says this. I mean, basically, everything is debates, everything is discussion, everything is ambiguity, everything is confusion. But the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I could have baked the cake for you, and you would have had the cake. But my love comes from my relationship with you. I want you to be my shutfin in making this cake. Now, it's true. When you're my shutif, Hashem says, things are going to be messy, confused, ambiguous, chaotic. Right? I think one is not being irreverent if we say that Gemara is often confusing. Right? But it is the love that Hashem has for us that we become part of the creation of Torah. And that is the Matan Torah of Shavuos. Okay? So I wish you all a Zman of Emes Dika Kabbalah Satira. May we be Zeicha. It says, Matan Torah is either a day or 2 days, but it's not called the day of Kabbalah Satira, because Matan Torah is what Hashem gives us. Kabbalah Satira is what we do. We have to be Makabel every single day. Right? And that's totally on us. Matan is what Hashem does for us. Kabbalah is what we have to do. So we should all be safe.